the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merry Christmas, everyone. Here we are in the midst of the 12 days of Christmas. It's awfully good to be with you. Today's scripture readings speak of two good boys, two good young men, Samuel of old and our Lord Jesus at 12 years of age. I mean, what more could be asked of a child than what was said of these two in almost the exact same words? And Jesus, like Samuel before him, increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. More than silver and gold, or any treasure that this old world can name, this is what parents want for their children. We want them to increase in stature and in favor with God and humans. Because if that is so, if that be so for our children, then they're being led by Jesus and they're moving on heavenward. And that's the dearest thing that we can ask for. That they're being made ready for life eternal with Christ. So many a parent can sing most earnestly the third verse of Away in the Manger. Tiffany's going to sing it for us. That's what I want, that our children, and that we ourselves, and that every human on the face of this earth will be fit for heaven, crafted for heaven, refashioned for heaven, to live with Jesus there. Or, to use the imagery of today's epistle reading, what I'm asking, what I'm praying for, is that we will be decked out in such a way that we'll be on our way to heaven, that we will be given robes, robes of righteousness. Now, to develop this theme, let me begin by talking about Samuel. He's featured in our first lesson. There we read that the child Samuel served the Lord in the house of the Lord. The way this happened, you might recall the story, is that Samuel's mother, whose name was Hannah, had been barren for a long time. It was breaking her heart. And so she prayed to the Lord that if the Lord would give her a son, she would consecrate that son and give that son to serve the Lord all of his life. And so it happened. The Lord gave her a son. And she was true to her word. When she had weaned the child, then she took the child to the house of the Lord, which was in a town called Shiloh, and gave him to the priest there, a man named Eli. And so it was that Samuel grew up in the household of Eli the priest. But naturally, his mother, Hannah, did not forget about her son. How could she do that? Once a year, they made a pilgrimage to Shiloh. And the text says that she brought along a little robe that she had made for him. I can picture this. I can kind of see it in my mind's eye because I have the advantage that I see Carol knitting all the time. I mean, her hands are always busy. This afternoon, I have to work. I'm going to lead the chapel service at the old folks' home at Carnegie East House. But if the rest of the day goes well, I'll be waiting all day for Sunday night. I'll just be waiting for Sunday night football. Carol and I will be watching the NFL on TV. I'll be there in my rocking chair. And Carol, well, she'll be on the couch. And she'll be watching the game. And she'll be deeply immersed in the game, but also her hands will be busy. She will be knitting. She just finished this gorgeous little sweater for one of our grandnieces back in Maryland. And now she's starting something new. Her hands will be busy. Experience has taught me that when you are preparing a garment for a little one, you have to do some balancing. You have to kind of eyeball things. You can't delay too long in making the sweater because the little ones grow so fast, they'll grow right out of it. It'll be too small for them by the time you deliver it. Well, think of Hannah. She saw her son, Samuel, only once a year. So while she's making this robe for him, she has to kind of estimate. Now, how big is he now? And make it a bit bigger than that so it will last throughout the year. And so she does this thing. She wants her son to be decked out. And he is. He's decked out with the robe that his loving mother made. But Samuel is decked out even more beautifully with the robes of righteousness. You never hear a discouraging word about Samuel. I can't recall one in the Bible. From beginning to end, he was faithful to the Lord and a strong and talented servant of the Lord. He got off to a good start. The text says he grew up in favor with God and with humanity. Got off to this good start and he continued in that path. Now that's an interesting phrase. He grew up in favor with God and mankind. That was said of Jesus too. There's a connection between these two kinds of favors. If we can grow up in favor with God, on average, we will also grow up in favor with humanity. I say on average, because alas, it's not always so. I mean, pirates and robbers and wicked folk might not like us if we grow up in favor with God because they figure that they can't trust us. We'll be on the other side. Yet, interestingly, even for wicked folk, not all of life is wickedness. Even wicked folk like to deal with people who are fair and honest. And so they look with favor upon the kind of people they are not. But they're glad that there are such people like that. Well, Samuel and Jesus grew up in favor with God and humanity. If you grow up in favor with God, most times you're going to be in favor with your neighbors. Because then you're going to be an honest person, an upright person, a person whose word is good, solid, like money in the bank. You're a trustworthy kind of person. Well, That's how Samuel of old was, and that's how Jesus was. Now, Samuel was a great man, and he anointed the shepherd boy David, who became Israel's great king. But a greater one than Samuel or David was Jesus, our Lord Jesus. In today's gospel story, we read how he grew up in favor with God and humanity. There's some sadness in this story. They lose track of Jesus. And when they at last find him again, Mary says to her son, "Why have you treated us thus? Your father and I have searched anxiously for you." That word, anxiously, in the Greek, it carries with it a tone of not only anxiety, but also pain, kind of suffering, perhaps the suffering that was foretold by Simeon in the temple when he said, "You know, Mary, a sword is going to pierce your heart. Your son is meant for the raising up of many on earth, but a sword shall pierce your soul." Here, such a thing seems to happen. It's part of the inevitable separating of children from their parents. Jesus went through it too. It's painful for both the child and for the parents. It is as if the child surveys mother and father, steps back and takes a look at them, and says, "This I like, this I will keep, but this, yuck, I don't want that part of my life." And so it is that the child chooses his own path, her own path in life. That's what Jesus does in this story. When Mary says, "Son, why did you treat us in such a way?" Jesus separates. He says, "Did you not know that I must?" There's a kind of inner necessity in him, a spiritual necessity. "I must be in my Father's house." Once he had taken that step, identified himself above all with his heavenly Father, then he went home and he was obedient to them and he grew up in favor with God and humanity. But he'd laid down the principle of his life, and he was true to that principle for the rest of his life. Our parents sang for us that third verse of "Away in a Manger." They sang it for us most earnestly. They thought of us, many of our parents did, and they prayed in that hymn that God would so fit us for heaven that we could live with Jesus there forever. I want to finish up by referring to our second lesson, because that's the lesson, it seems to me, to give us some concrete advice about how to be fit for heaven, about how to be fashioned and crafted and decked out in such a way that we'll be fit for heaven. It's a matter of the clothes that we wear. It's a matter of what we put on. This is what St. Paul says. "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on what? Compassion." The first thing it mentions, first thing the apostle speaks of, put on compassion. Kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience. forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. It's interesting that the appointed lesson for Christmas Eve, according to ancient standards, is a reading from Titus. We read it year after year after year. And it seems to be a reading that says, look, the point of Christmas for you and me, the point of Christmas for daily life, is that we should be renewed in spirit and that we should be recommitted to lives of holiness, and indeed that we should be a people who are zealous for good deeds, a kind of hunger and desire, an earnest desire within ourselves for good deeds. St. Paul seems to suggest that the way to do that, the way to arm ourselves for those good deeds, is that when we get up in the morning, we put on our robe. We, like putting our arms through a shirt or through our blouse or through our jacket, we put on virtues, compassion, kindness, lowliness, forbearance, forgiveness, the highest gift of all, love. What a great exhortation for us as we are now entering into a new year. Let us be decked out as we go into this new year, after the manner of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.